Certainly good to see everybody today. We have a good crowd, many visitors. We appreciate the fact that you are here with us. Our goal is simply to serve God and to give Him praise. And so that's why we've come here this morning to do that. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. So I'd ask that you'd open your Bibles. I'd like to talk for just a few moments about giving thanks always. This country has set aside a day in which we should give thanksgiving to focus our attention on that, and there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But for the Christian, really this should be a mindset that governs our entire lives. This should be something that defines us every day of the year. This should be a part of who we are. We should be people that are giving thanks always and for everything to God. He is the one that has given us so much. And so as we do that, that's really a different way of living that is so common in the world. Our natural tendency, I think, is really to grumble and complain. Our natural tendency is to get used to what we have and to demand more and more. And I believe that it takes a conscious effort to be people that are always giving thanks. As we consider our circumstances, our situations, let me suggest that there are two different mindsets. Two different mindsets. You may think that I'm particularly thirsty this morning, but you've probably heard of the illustration of the glass being half empty or half full. Normally we think of being an optimist or a pessimist, and we use that illustration of that glass in that way. Let me also suggest that glass being half full or half empty is also a way to describe people that are either thankful or ungrateful. Because what's amazing about a glass with water in it, it's the same situation for two different people, but they can see it in completely different ways. One person may look at this and see what is there and be thankful for it. Another person may look at this and see what is not there. They may look at their neighbor who has a full glass and say, why can't I be like them? I don't have what they have. And so as we consider these two different mindsets, there is the grumbler, the complainer, the one that is ungrateful, and there is the person that is thankful. The grumbler and complainer is a half-empty kind of person. He always thinks about what he doesn't have. And he looks over what he does have. He fails to see the blessings that are in his cup. He fails to think about what has been given on him, and he dwells and he sulks on what he does not have. This person compares himself to other people. And he desires to have what they have and more. He doesn't consider what they do not have. He only considers what they have. And he looks around to all the crowd and sees what this person has that he doesn't. And this person has that he doesn't. And he wants all of those things. He feels entitled and feels that he deserves more than he's getting. If you were to describe an ungrateful person, that person really has a lot of things going on. They may look a certain way in many different facets of their life. I believe that 2 Timothy chapter 3 really describes this person. What do you think of when you think of an ungrateful person? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but not denying its power. Avoid such people." Not only are we to avoid such people, but we are to avoid being such people. Because if you have an ungrateful person, there's likely other things that will be associated with that. They're likely to be disrespectful. They're likely to complain quite a bit. They're likely to love and desire possessions and things. They're likely to be greedy, always wanting more and more. Those that are ungrateful really have a problem, don't they? They really live miserable lives. Because if we're always wanting more and more, we're never going to be satisfied, are we? We're never going to be satisfied. But we see that those that are thankful are different. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 15. If you were to read through the Bible or just look at a concordance of the occurrences of the word thankful or thanks, thanksgiving, you'll see that it occurs hundreds of times. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, notice how Paul says, this is to describe your life, your walk, how you live. He says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now there are several things that are mentioned in this passage that the Christian is to do. Here he says that you're to make the most of your time, to use your time wisely. You're to understand what the will of God is. You're to choose the things of the Spirit and to follow after the things of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. You're to sing. You're to make melody in your heart to the Lord. He says in verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father. You're to submit to one another. Notice in verse 15 that this is, for the Christian, how you are to walk, how you are to live. He talks about things that we are to continually do. In verse 20, he says, giving thanks always. Again, I would stress that this is the mindset. This is the way the Christian needs to live. The grateful person is the cup half full kind of person. He takes the same circumstances that another person might have, and he sees his blessings. He sees and takes note of what he has. He is a thoughtful and considerate person. He takes time to consider what he has. He thinks about and dwells on his blessings and what he has rather than what he does not have. This person, instead of comparing himself to others, looks to his God and compares himself to God and recognizes that he has been given really more than he deserves. The grateful person, like the psalmist, considers the heavens, considers the work of God's fingers, and asks the question, what is man that you take thought of him? The grateful person feels blessed and recognizes that God has given him so much. So there's really two different mindsets, and we're all going to have to make a decision. We're all going to have to decide how we're going to live. And in truth, you're probably not completely one or completely the other. Most of us, I would dare say all of us, have times in our lives, even now, when we are not as grateful as we should be. So the goal, as we think about this, is to become more and more grateful and thankful. We're to recognize more and more our God and be cognizant of Him at all times. Because as we do that, I believe we will be more thankful. We'll be more thankful. And we'll learn how to live with other people and view our possessions and things and our circumstances. Really, this is a tall challenge, isn't it? To give thanks always. To give thanks always. It really defines the Christian task. Because in any and every circumstance, we are to think about and dwell upon things as God would have us to look on them. We're to look at the big picture, aren't we? We're to consider what God is doing and how He is at work in this world and how we are to live in His presence. And the grateful person does that. The grateful person does that. So there are these two mindsets that we must choose from. There are these two mindsets with regard to possessions. With regard to possessions. It's pretty interesting that the day of Thanksgiving gives way more and more to the time and the season of possessions, doesn't it? Now, that doesn't mean that we have to avoid that holiday, never think about it or speak of it, avoid it. But it does mean that there is propensity during that time to be materialistic. And so we have to fight that, don't we? We have to avoid that. This is the first year I can remember where those sales are getting into that, even that day of Thanksgiving. But as Christians, we have to consider these two mindsets when it comes to our possessions. Notice those who are ungrateful. These are the people that look at their possessions and always want more. They pass over what they have. They may have all the things in the world, but they look over that and say, I want the one thing that I don't have. I want that. And they're miserable. They're sad. They're frustrated. They complain. I don't have anything. You might think about 1 Kings chapter 21. And there we see King Ahab. King Ahab. I think that we could probably describe him as a person that was ungrateful. This was a king who lived in wealth and prosperity. He had so many possessions. But he looked upon one man who was really not shown to be a wealthy man. This was a poorer man. Naboth, the Jezreelite. And he had a vineyard. And so it says in 1 Kings 21 and verse 2, and after this Ahab said to Naboth, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden. Because it is near my house, and I will give you a better vineyard for it. Or if it seems good to you, I will give you its value in money. Ahab starts off with demands. Give me. Those that are ungrateful really have the give me's, don't they? They're always wanting. And I'll give you this in return, but I want that vineyard. Notice verse 3. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my fathers. Notice verse 4. What is the reaction of those who are ungrateful? It says that Ahab went into his house, vexed and sullen, because of what Naboth the Jezreelite had said to him. For he had said, I will not give you the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no food. Ahab is acting like a child, isn't he? He has all the things in the world. There's so much that he has, so many possessions as the king of Israel that he would have had. But he overlooked all of that and lived in frustration. He acts like a child here as he throws really a temper tantrum. And he sulks and he vexes. How often do we live this life frustrated and upset about what we don't have? About that one thing that we don't have. And you would think as Americans, we wouldn't act like that, right? But we might fall into the same category as this king. People that have it all, so to speak, but yet live frustrated over that one thing that we don't have. Notice in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here we see a contrast between those who are thankful and those who are unthankful. Or at least we can draw that from the passage. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7. Notice how the thankful person acts in regard to their possessions. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. It says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." The thankful person considers their necessities and is thankful for what little they have, whether they have a little or a lot. They're thankful because they see that these things are important to life and to living. They think about their necessities and they see that life is more than possessions. Life is more than possessions. But notice as we continue, verse 9 says, "But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." Notice the word groups that keep coming over. The idea and thought of desire. The thought of what we want. It says those who desire to be rich. It talks about their desires, their harmful desires. They have a love for money. It talks about the fact that they have a craving for these things. That's really what this is. Always wanting more. The ungrateful person fails to stop and take a moment and realize what they have. Not only with possessions, but also in our circumstances. In our circumstances. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the passage that we just looked at, that Paul said that if I have food and clothing, with these I should be content. The thankful person can be described as content. Consider in the circumstances that we have. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 16 through 18, Paul instructs them to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There are certain things that we're to do all the time. And this really kind of is where the rubber meets the road. Because we have a tendency to be thankful in good times, don't we? Everything's going well, we're happy. But if things are not going well, we tend to be upset. We tend to be frustrated. We allow our circumstances to dictate how we're going to live and react. And Paul says, as Christians, you need to rejoice always. Can we rejoice always, even in tragedy? Even in sickness, even in pain and suffering, is there something that we can rejoice in during those times? Is there something that we can say to God and pray to God about and be thankful for? Can we truly be thankful in all circumstances? This is the test, isn't it? This is where we really challenge. If we would be thankful in difficult times as well. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Notice, we're to pray about everything, and it even mentions the idea of anxieties. We're to cast our anxieties upon God. But notice what it says in the midst of our requests. It says, "Let your requests be made known to God." Or it says, "With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." One of the things that we do in prayer is certainly to make requests of God. We recognize our helplessness and His might and ability. And so we call upon the One who is all-powerful and all-loving and all-good. We call upon Him with our requests. We cast our anxieties upon Him. But the question is, with every request that we make, could we also do so with a thankful heart? There are certain things in this life that we want more than anything. If you were to have, again, we might think of a situation of sickness. There's nothing we can do for a loved one who is sick. We may want more than anything for that person to recover. But in that situation, could we pray with thanksgiving? Is there something we can be thankful about? You may think of any situation where you're calling upon God, asking Him, with our requests, do we have a thankful heart? Do we recognize what God has given us? It really will change the way that we pray. It will change what we ask for and how we live if, even in our requests, we would do so with thanksgiving. Praising God, talking of His goodness. Yes, we need to be thankful in all circumstances, the good and the bad. And that's really the challenge for every one of us, to be thankful no matter what. To be thankful no matter what. We also need to give thanksgiving and be thankful people in our family. Home is the place where we grumble the most and are treated the best. It's a place where we get comfortable, and so we think it's all right to complain and grumble. Philippians 2 and verse 12 tells us to do all things without grumbling. Don't let grumbling and complaining be a part of your life. Don't let it define who you are. Don't be a complainer. The ungrateful person at home always wants more, is not thankful to their spouse or to their children or parents, whoever would do anything for them. They're not thankful for that. They always want more and more. They become depressed and sad over one little thing that they don't have. And they live in an ungrateful manner. Those who are thankful in their families, though, live differently. They live differently. Those who are ungrateful really have miserable homes in one way, don't they? Consider the spouse who is ungrateful. That marriage will likely end in divorce, won't it? Or if it continues to keep going, it will be an unhappy marriage. So why would that end in divorce? Well, they're not happy with what they have. They're always looking at this greener grass over here. They're always seeing someone else that can make them happier. And that really defines the marriage situation in our country. I want this to be about me, and I want to be happier, and someone else can make me happier. And so let me try out this marriage. That's why we have people in this country that are married 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Because they are ungrateful in marriage. They don't see the blessings they have there. They simply continue to complain and grumble and want to be served. They want more and more. This is all about them and their happiness. The ungrateful person really is a selfish person. So spouses gripe and complain. And they fantasize about being with someone else. Children develop the give-me's. I know about the gimmies because my daughters have this book of the Berenstain Bears and how they overcome the gimmies. That's when children are always wanting more and more. They go into a store, give me this, give me this, give me this. And children are defined that way. But as I mentioned, families of thanksgiving act differently. Notice in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. There we see a passage that describes for us the worthy woman. And it shows for us also a godly family, as she is at the heart of that godly family. Proverbs 31. And in verse 28, after it's talked about all the many things that this worthy woman does in service to others and to her family and to God, it says that her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Notice how this is far different than the ungrateful person. The ungrateful husband says, many women have done great. Why can't you do like them? The ungrateful husband says, I want you to act more like this person or that person. And complains and gripes no matter what the situation. here, this woman is certainly worthy of praise. But I think it's also interesting to note that that's exactly what her husband does. Her husband appreciates her. And this is also what the children do. They've seen this type of thanksgiving in their family modeled for them by their parents. And so the children also rise up and call her blessed. They rise up and call her blessed. In our homes, we need to be people that are thankful. And that involves our houses, our homes, but also with the very family members that we live, expressing thanks. And again, you might say, but my spouse doesn't act as good as that person. And there may be some truth to that. But let me remind you of what we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in all circumstances. So we need to be thankful for what we do have. For what we do have, and try to find the good in those things. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Verse 1 says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. And it talks about their submissive will as they adorn their hearts and their inward character, rather than merely just what's external. Verse 7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs without you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. The world shudders from that term, the weaker vessel, but the language of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 describes everything about how it's to be looked at and what it means. This is not a weaker vessel in the sense of something that repudiates us or disgusts us or looked at as mere weakness in the terms that we normally think of it. Rather, we see in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, this is something that is to be honored and cherished. This description of the woman is something that is worth noting and worthy and valuable. Kind of like fine china we might think of. You know, you don't get the fine china out for everyday use. It's something that is special. And yes, it's more breakable, but there's something that is special there. And so we see that husbands are to show honor to their wives as the weaker vessel. They are fellow heirs with the husband in the grace of life. In this passage, husbands are instructed not just to feel, you know, Counter had talked about this Wednesday night. A very good job. Husbands are not just to feel thankful. They're not just to feel like they honor their wives, but they're to show it. They need to use language and words and express their thanksgiving to their spouse. And that's what we see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. This would go for men and women. For parents and for children. You know, parents, we talk about children getting those gimmies. But parents can also act in an unthankful way to their children, can't they? Why can't you act like this person and that person? Why can't you do this or that? The fact is, we need to be thankful for our children and express that. Use words of love and encouragement. We need to train them to be thankful. That's something that is truly on my heart a lot lately. How do you train a child to be thankful? I don't know. You talk to me afterwards. I'd like some advice on that. But to teach someone that all they've known is what they've been given, and how do you show them and teach them that they need to be thankful for that? We see that we need to be thankful people in the family. We also need to be thankful people to God. And this is really the point that defines everything else. There are those that are ungrateful. We see that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1 and verse 21. Here it talks about people that although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. There are people that actually, if you ask them, do you believe in God? They would say yes, but they would fit into this passage. Because even though they might intellectually believe in God, they do not honor Him as God. And they do not give thanks to Him. They basically live with a religious amnesia, basically. They may know about it, but they continually forget who God is and what He has done. Christians are asked to live differently, though. They are to be thankful people. Notice in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 15. Here it says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Do you think something's trying to be emphasized in this passage? Stated three different ways. If you allow the peace of Christ to dwell in your hearts, you live with the peace of Christ, with that constancy and knowledge of what God will do and that He controls all things. If you live with the peace of Christ in your heart, we are to do so with thankfulness in our hearts. The Bible says, let God's Word, the Word of Christ, dwell in us, live in us. Live in such a way that we do it. We follow after it. We shape our hearts according to it. We're to do so singing to one another, speaking the Word of God, and being thankful. He says, very simply, whatever you do, do as God would have you to do. Do as Jesus would do. And do so in thanks, giving thanks to God. As I mentioned at the very beginning, those who are ungrateful, I believe, simply forget to look to God. And they spend more time looking to their neighbor and seeing what their neighbor has. But those that are thankful continually look to God and give Him thanks because of all that He has done. When we do dwell on God and think about God, spend time in His Word and reflect on His actions throughout history, His character, the only thing that we can do is fall on our face in humility and praise Him. Now, I think it's extremely difficult to dwell on God, to think on God and His perfection, and then stand up and say, I don't need Him. There's something twisted in that. That's why most people that live in arrogance simply want to shut God out of their minds and not think about Him and live how they want. But when we do think and dwell on Him, we will do so with thanksgiving. We could read the entire book of Psalms and see how often it talks about thanksgiving. But let me just notice a couple of passages. In Psalm 100 and verse 4. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. There it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." In Psalm 107, and verse 1, there it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." In verse 22 he says, "And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy." I love that image of sacrifices of thanksgiving. That which is put on the altar in presentation to God. That which has an aroma that lifts itself up to God. We actually, as we give thanks and praise, we are giving that to God. We are declaring His goodness and His greatness. So, that thought and that concept brings a whole new meaning and idea to the question of, do I have to come to church? Do I have to come to worship? You've missed the whole point. Worship is about throwing ourselves in the presence of God and giving Him praise. And what that does is more than just a checklist item. What that does is change the way we live and act and think. Worship is something that should transform us. If we leave worship with an ungrateful heart, we've missed the point. We've not focused as we should. We've not thought about what we're actually here to do. And that is to give praise and thanksgiving to God. You can't leave here. You shouldn't be able to leave here an arrogant person. Worship should humble you. It should humble you. The question for each one of us is, are we going to live, are we going to walk in a manner in which we are thankful or ungrateful? And if we've been ungrateful, are we going to change our ways, thinking about God and His goodness and the many things that we do have? And if we have nothing in this life, we have our God who will richly supply us in the next. You think about the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus, in his poverty, could be thankful, knowing that he would feast on the bounty of Abraham's table in the life to come, knowing that God is a God of goodness and that He will provide. We're going to be singing the song, Without Him. Without Him, life would be nothing. We have an opportunity this very moment to give our life to Him, to dedicate our life to Him. God sent His Son so that we might have a hope of heaven. And if we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, commit our lives to Him, forsaking our past life of sin and our own will, and seeking to serve Him and His will, being baptized so that we come in contact with the blood of Christ, being immersed in water so that we can be raised to walk in newness of life. It's a picture of that commitment that takes place. We're buried, putting to death the old man. We're raised to walk in newness of life. And we commit our life to Him. Is there anyone subject to the invitation? Please come as we stand and sing at this time.